Welcome to Wise, a podcast for women introverts, sensitives, and empaths. I'm your host, Ashley Pardo, business coach, functional nutritional therapy practitioner, and former private chef. Wise is all about mindset, entrepreneurship and business, food and nutrition, spirituality, relationships, and ultimately living your purpose, all through the lens of the sensitive, introverted, and empathic woman. I know you might feel like the information out there isn't suited for you, but this is, because we're powerful, strong, and deep, and we've got potential. Let's begin to let that out right now. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Wise. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Right off the bat, we know we haven't seen a podcast episode in a couple weeks. I am going to be kind of catching up and releasing extra episodes over the next week, 2 weeks or so. And in the middle of June, we will have our new name, new intro, and all of the stuff. I have gone through major, major life changes in the past 2 months, and I will talk more about that soon. I also want to talk about and eventually perhaps do an episode on navigating life changes as a creator and as somebody who shares their personal life online. I have been having so many thoughts about that, and many of you know that my best friend Kim and I are starting a podcast as well called Tell Me Everything that is also going to be coming mid-June. And her and I will talk about that as well because Kim is also a creator and a person on social media. And I don't think that this is talked about enough, like how you navigate these things and also how hard it is to be visible in this way when you are undergoing things and experiencing things that are very hard and you don't really know. You're going through things on your own and you have to process them, and then sharing them with the world is a whole other thing. So I shared about my breakup on social media about a week ago, and I have lots of thoughts about, you know, what it was like to do that. I will share more. I really want to be able to integrate those lessons and think about things a little bit more. So I just wanted to say that off the bat, that I am still navigating these waters, and I also not only want to share things with you, but I want to go through them first. And having that line of like, what is mine to share and what do I want to share with the world? And again, lots of thoughts. I obviously, as creators, I think that we go through changes, and I have gone through many, many changes over the last several years. But this one felt different, and I am still kind of, again, not necessarily processing on my own. I really processed the things that I've gone through, at least for the most part, and I'm doing great. I'm really like sitting with my thoughts about how we share as creators who are personal brands, and how, again, how hard that can be, how feelings that can come up around that, how much to share. I know that this is like a business thing too, right? You know, if you're an entrepreneur and you share in the same way. So all of that to say that I will be talking about that more soon, sort of like what my thoughts are, and also just more about the things that I have, the changes that I've been going through, you know, that have all been for the best. And, you know, many of you have reached out and sent me your kind words and everything, and I'm doing awesome. And that isn't like, oh, I'm just like false positivity or whatever. Like, things are really good. So thank you all for, you know, all of your kind words and you reaching out and everything. I will share more soon, I promise, and likely more on this podcast. I'm doing a hard pivot right here. I am enrolling for Intuitive Macros right now. So Intuitive Macros is my 6-week signature group coaching program. We start on May 30th. So this episode is going to come out on May 24th. So from now we have 6 days left to sign up. Like I said, we start on May 30th and you can find the link to check out all the details and enroll in Intuitive Macros in the show notes, also in my Instagram bio at Ashley K. Pardo. I always talk about this program. It's my nutrition framework. I truly think it's the permanent solution to all of your nutrition struggles. It's literally your one-stop shop. If you follow the steps in Intuitive Macros, and obviously I am here to guide you through that too, you will get your results, whether those are mental goals around lessening your preoccupation with food, whether that's eating more protein, less sugar, you think you're a food addict, you want to lose weight, strength, muscle, whatever it is, if you're postpartum, if you're perimenopausal, truly a one-stop shop. We go over all of those considerations. And most importantly, I equip you with all of the knowledge in order to make those changes on your own afterwards. Some people do one-on-one alongside Intuitive Macros. If you want to do that, send me a message. You do get Intuitive Macros, the group program, for free if you do one-on-one. So I'm really, really excited for that. This round also has a 2-week kickstart, a workout program. I am getting my certified personal training certificate. That's redundant. I will be a CPT hopefully on July 17th. That's when I have scheduled my exam. Intuitive Macros for practitioners is also coming mid-July as well. So a lot of really good stuff is happening. I am so excited. I will create a waitlist for the practitioner course soon. It will be $997. I'm only going to accept around 20 people because I want to make sure that it is intimate, that we can learn from each other, and that I can give you the proper attention. That will be the beta group. So afterwards in the fall, it'll go up to $1,997. I will take the feedback and I will make it the best and continue to make it better. I am so excited for that. And I will talk more about that soon. Today, I'm going to be talking about unconditional permission to eat and abundance mindset around food. I have done episodes around this, like in the past, maybe kind of, you know, sliced up into different topics. But today I really want to talk about this as a concept because I know that it's something that can be very confusing to people. I know it's something that seems really hard and counterintuitive. Like, hello, I feel completely uncontrolled and nuts around food. How are you telling me I can eat whatever I want? I know it's odd, it seems, right? But it's truly the only way that I think that you can have a healthy relationship with food, which to me means that you're not thinking about food in general, right? Like you have kind of like a neutral relationship with food. And the problem that I see with, to me, this is the antidote to dieting and restriction, or like promising yourself that you're never going to eat sugar again, promising yourself that on Monday you're going to start something like having unconditional permission to eat and an abundance mindset seems like the opposite of that. But I also want you, and it might feel scary, but I also want you to ask yourself right now how those things have felt for you when you've told yourself, I can't have sugar, I can't have flour, I'm cutting out bread today, oh, I'm not going to eat rice, I can't have a banana. Like that was me for so long. And I have talked about the fact that I've been to Overeaters Anonymous. And when I went there, the energy and the vibe was obsession. It was just obsession about avoiding food. So to me, the point in any sort of, because all of our relationships with food are personal, they're individual, they are ours, and we should have full autonomy. And I'm going to talk about autonomy in a moment, because that's the most important part of your relationship with food, because we are adults, right? Like, we have to feel like we are in control and that we have a say and that someone else isn't ruling us, right? That person could also be like the part of us that eats in a way that makes us feel like shit. But the point is, whatever you choose with the information that I'm going to be sharing right now, whatever you choose, I want you to feel at peace. So I know a couple people who do not eat sugar ever. And like, that is their boundary. That is their decision. And they feel fully at peace. I feel fully at peace, including everything. And then having truly unconditional permission to eat. And that is my freedom, because the moment I tell myself, you can't have that, that's all I want to think about. So even people who choose to avoid sugar, I think that they can only do it because they've given themselves permission to enjoy it. And then they make an informed choice. And that's what I'm going to talk about today, is how we can begin to decide what kind of relationship with food that we have, and how we can be at peace and have an abundance mindset. And when I say that, it means like, I can eat anything at any time. Anything is available to me. There are no rules around the time of the stuff that I eat, around when I can eat these things. Like, if there's something that I eat on Christmas, I could have it today. If there's something that I'm waiting on, if I can make it right, if I am waiting for a cheat day or I'm waiting for Saturday, I could have that thing right now for breakfast if I wanted it. Unconditional permission to eat and abundance and full autonomy is saying I could have anything at any moment. And to me, nothing, and you all know, you know what I've gone through. You know how tumultuous my relationship with food and my body was for most of my life. It's been 11 years now, 11, 12 years that things have been really good. The only thing that has ever worked for me is this. And I have seen it in my clients. I have seen it in people that have gone through intuitive macros. And I want that for everyone. Now, this takes work. I think that we have to, it's not a linear process. I think that sometimes we take 2 steps forward, 1 step back. That is part of it too. And I'm going to talk about why that's important. So ideally, we would eat perfectly, right? Like, ideally, we wouldn't have cultural, nostalgic, you know, comforting thoughts around food, right? Like, food wouldn't be so meaningful, ideally. That wouldn't be my ideal, but like, let's say if we have an issue with food, many of us are like, God, if it could just be easy, if I could just like eat the things and not have any attachment to it. But the thing is, you're a human, and humans have interesting brains. And most human brains, the moment, again, like I said, that you tell it you can't do something is when we get obsessive. And this is dieting, right? This is what dieting does. And we feel safe when we do this. I was even talking to a nutrition client of mine a couple days ago, and she was telling me that she feels a lot of safety in restriction. And of course, because restriction and dieting, especially like if you have a food list, it's so cut and dry. Eat this, don't eat that. Our brains love black and white things. They love rigidity. Dealing with uncertainty, which is the nature of the gray area, is tough. But unless you learn to navigate the gray area, I'm telling you right now, you will never be free. You will never be free, because that is life. And that is also like our changing desires. The more that I embrace my love of food, the easier my relationship with food becomes. I know that sounds counterintuitive too. But one of our human needs, the reason why we need to do this, is because one of our most important needs as a human is autonomy, feeling like we have a say in what it is that we are doing. And we're the ones that are living our lives. So even like with the clients that I work with, I work very, very closely with my one-on-one clients. We're in touch very frequently, sometimes every day. They're the ones living their lives. You know, they're the ones shopping. They're the ones eating. I guide, and I'm there to support and troubleshoot and, you know, provide whatever anybody needs. But ultimately, you are living your life. You are the one in your brain. You are the one, you know, eating and desiring and doing all of these things. So we have to, from the beginning, accept that autonomy need and know that, yes, we can get guidance in the beginning. And I think that that's normal. Like, sometimes we don't feel confident enough to go out or not to go at it on our own. Like, that is a real thing. I needed a ton of support around my eating in the beginning. But even then, I needed to have that sense of autonomy, you know? So what this really means when we say autonomy with food, that means allowance and abundance. If we can do whatever we want, autonomy meaning I am responsible and I am able, more so able, to do the things that I want to do and need to do, and I have freedom to do that. That's really what autonomy is. That has to have an undercurrent of abundance and allowance and an unconditional permission to eat. Dieting doesn't give you autonomy, right? Even doing something like a Whole 30 doesn't give you autonomy because you still have a food list. So, and again, I want to really reiterate that this isn't about like eating for goals or, you know, not eating for goals or anything like that, or like having structure and boundaries, because that is a form of autonomy that helps you be more autonomous. So we're adults. We could get these foods at any time. Like if you are having band-aid fixes, like getting foods out of your house or putting a lock on the refrigerator or doing something like Ozempic, if you are, you know, throwing things away in the trash, like it's always going to be there. You're not actually dealing with the issue. And it, again, seems counterintuitive, but those things are all band-aid fixes. At some point, we will have to deal with this. And I think it really just takes the commitment to observe ourselves and be along for the ride and letting it take as long as it takes. I have found for most people, if they practice this, it takes about 3 months to really allow this to solidify. And as time goes on, it becomes even better. If you can give yourself 6 months to do this and to really, you know, commit to this work, food will loosen its grip on you. It won't have a grip on you. And, you know, this is the ultimate goal. You know what I mean? So there's a couple steps that I want to go through right now to kind of guide us to get to this place. The number one thing that we have to do is tell ourselves the truth about how we want to feel. What are our core values? How do we want to show up in life? How do you want to feel every day? So right now, going through your days, start identifying, and maybe I'll create a PDF on feelings and values eventually. Identify how you want to feel every day. Do you want to feel confident? Do you want to feel light and vibrant and free and strong and bold? Those are some of my words. Courageous. I want to feel like on fire, you know, like if you look at like the sparkly emoji that I always use, like that's how I want to feel. I don't want to feel bloated. I don't want to feel heavy and sluggish and tired. Those things are the opposite of how I need to feel to do what it is that I do every day in life, right? So that's the first thing. Get really, really clear on how you want to feel. The next thing is to tell yourself the truth about how certain foods and quantities of foods make you feel, especially if you're obsessed with a food. So I think that preoccupation with food or obsession with food a lot of the times has to do with restriction, physiological restriction, in the sense of like if you're actually not feeding yourself enough food and enough calories, your body will try to get the food usually in the form of a binge because it's hungry. Like it will override any sort of your like desires for dieting because it's hungry and it needs to eat. There's also mental restriction, which is the guilt and the shame that we feel whenever we've eaten something that we've deemed, you know, unallowable. Is that even a word? I don't know. That we've deemed like this food isn't safe. I can't control myself around this food, which like at this point in time, those things could be true. So like, again, this goes along with like telling yourself the truth, because we cannot have unconditional permission to eat or abundance without actually being honest and telling ourselves the truth. And this is hard. Like, getting this honest with yourself is maybe something that you've never done before. And I love this because once we start doing this, it starts happening in every area of life. So if you struggle with food, you can also use food as the vehicle with which you can grow and become who you're meant to be. So like me talking about the changes I went through in the beginning, it is the work that I've done with my relationship with food and my body that has allowed me to move through it pretty unscathed and like pretty good and feeling very, very resilient, you know? So it will literally stay with you forever And you will have a well of strength if you have the willingness. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know all the steps. It's the willingness to be uncomfortable, to be honest, to look at yourself. And if you're unwilling to do that, I also want to ask you, how does it feel to have a relationship with food that feels uncomfortable? How does your body feel when you eat in a way that doesn't make you feel good, that isn't aligned with your values? And I have so much compassion for this because I get it. I hear it. I see it. Like, I know it. And I think if we can get really honest, that is what begins to make the changes, right? So tell yourself the truth about how these foods make you feel. I use an example sometimes of a client of mine, an old client of mine, who is a creative entrepreneur, and this is an example that I think we've all probably been through. She would take a retreat in a hotel a couple times a year, like without her children. And part of that process was like, you know, getting away from her kids, obviously, and like feeling the fun of like ordering whatever you wanted, having all of the food and the desserts and things like that. And then her going there, fantasizing about it, and then being like, I actually feel like shit, and this isn't that fun. How many times has that happened to ourselves when like we've been so tight in a diet and then we've finally gotten to like the place where we can actually, like, let's say we've done a Whole30 or we've done keto and we're like, okay, on Saturday, I'm going to let myself eat whatever I want. And then you do it. I have never not felt like shit after I've done something like that because we're not paying attention. We're not actually there. And again, when we are so strict, there's always going to be an overcorrection. So think about it. The degree to which you restrict and the less food selection that you have is going to be usually equal and opposite to the degree of the binge later. It's like a law of the universe, you know? So tell yourself the truth here. Does it actually feel good to do this? Does it actually align with how I want to feel every day? You don't have to do anything about it yet, but I think telling yourself the truth about it is a really, really good place to start, because it could also be the quantity of food. Like, having one brownie is very different than having seven. And if we eat seven brownies, usually we feel really terrible. Now, there's the hard part here of like, well, I can't just eat one brownie. And I understand that too, you know, but I think that the first step is telling yourself the truth that the fantasies that we have around food and eating as much as we want, quote unquote, is not actually that fun. And I would even argue that it's not what you want because you don't feel good afterwards, and it's not worth it to do that. You know, I think that when I was in that place of the cheat days and like telling myself, oh, on this day, I'm just going to like go crazy and it's going to be the best. Like, I'm fantasizing about it. It never lives up to the expectation. And that can be a moment of huge grief, because you're like, well, shit, then what's the answer? And if you're looking for that, I would listen to my podcast episode. I will put it in the show notes about the real solution to food stuff, where I talk about spirituality. You know, so I think that this process of like really being real with yourself about the fact that, you know, when we are using food in this way and oftentimes abusing it on the cheat days and all of this stuff, we're not actually really enjoying the food. Usually we're in this like vortex of non-mindfulness. We're not paying attention. It's chaotic. It's like, oh, I have to get it all in. I have to fit it all in. It's the feeling of scarcity, all of these things. And we're not actually enjoying the food. And there's also no end point. It's like, we go through these things of like, oh, I ate something sweet and now I need something salty, but then I got to finish it with something sweet. I remember just so many days like ending up in the pantry at like midnight being like, oh no, I'm not going to be able to eat this tomorrow. Got to fit it all in, purely driven by scarcity. So I think that if I contrast that to now, when everything is very peaceful, I will have whatever I want. And I will talk about kind of what my framework looks like for that. I truly will have whatever I want whenever I want it. But the truth is, the quantities that I want are things that fit within my nutrition plan. And I truly don't feel any like tie or attachment to it in the crazy way, like nutty way that I did before. I know crazy isn't a word you're supposed to use. But, you know, I enjoy food so much more now because I'm actually present. I'm actually present for it. So I will also say that if you eat quantities of food that perhaps don't align with the way that you want to feel, but you still have like nutrition goals, and eating these quantities don't actually make you feel that bad, but they still like make you gain weight or whatever it is, really ask yourself, okay, if I'm eating in a way that is not aligned to the goals that I have, what's happening to my body? Am I actually reaching my goals here? So being honest with yourself in that way, and then potentially adding structure, like self-monitoring in some way, taking pictures of food, writing food down, tracking in an app, quantifying things, that will be the most efficient and predictable way to reach your goals. I know it's not where everybody starts, but I think that you can have at least some self-monitoring that will help you gain awareness around this. So the next thing is that permission can't come without discernment and honesty. So unconditional permission to eat in abundance doesn't truly mean like, you know, we can do things and ignore and lie to ourselves still. It has to come with discernment, which means mindfulness, which means thought, having a conversation with yourself, pausing. Do I actually want this food? Is it actually worth it for me to eat it and the quantity that I want to eat it? Can I be really honest with myself and sit with myself in this moment of discomfort? That is truly what this is about. It's about avoiding discomfort. Oftentimes those of us that struggle with food also struggle with like feeling hunger and not being able to sit with hunger, which I know that for many of us that like could also come from trauma. Like if you struggle with food as a child, that, you know, feeling hungry might bring up feelings that are like primitive almost. Like to me, the feeling of hunger used to be so uncomfortable. And eventually I'll do a podcast episode about the window of tolerance, which is essentially like at any point in time, we have kind of a spectrum or a range of arousal that we can tolerate that is currently comfortable to us. And through time, after exposing ourselves to tolerable levels of discomfort, this is why I talk about tiny and tolerable, we begin to expand it and we can begin to see like, oh, I can tolerate the discomfort of being hungry. I'm not saying to starve yourself. I'm saying like if your dinner is in an hour or in like 30 minutes and like you're a little hungry, or like let's say you're cooking dinner and you really want to enjoy the dinner, but you're finding yourself like tasting the dinner or snacking the whole time, like that can be, you know, something that doesn't necessarily feel good. So practicing like, okay, I'm going to sit with the discomfort of being a little hungry in this moment. It's not a super emergency. And I'm going to learn that it's okay, that I am safe. It's also the discomfort of eating one brownie and wanting to, and holding the two feelings. And I've done an Instagram post about this, holding the two feelings of I want to eat more, and yet I know that I'm not going to feel good after I do that. In this case, it's going to be uncomfortable either way. It's uncomfortable to be mindful and to sit in that discomfort of like, oh, I had one and I want two or three or four, but I know that doing that is not beneficial to me. I know that it's not going to help me reach my goals, and I'm not going to feel the way that I want to when I do that, you know? This is hard, right? And I think exposing ourselves to this discomfort, but again, it has to, for you to have one brownie and be at peace, you have to let yourself like in your mind be like, I could have four if I wanted to, but do I actually want them? Is it actually beneficial for me? So for me, the way that I operate, I could have as much of anything as I want. And because of that, it takes away the sensationalism of the food. When you've told yourself you can't have it, you can't have it, you can't have it, it makes it special. It makes it alluring. It makes it like, oh my God, I really want it. You know how kids like, and this happens with dogs too, because I see it happen with Miss Faye, that whenever kids can't have a toy, they want it so much more. Like if they want like their friend's toy. And the moment that they get it, they're like, oh, whatever. You know, this is what kind of ends up happening, that you begin to see like, oh, this isn't that special. Maybe it's only so special because I've told myself that I can't have it and I've restricted it. So it's like only allowed in this certain window of time. Therefore, I'm going to be obsessed with it until then. You know, so I think that this requires practice. If you're tracking your macros, track the stuff that you want to eat. I think that tracking macros can be an amazing way to begin to practice this abundance, because like, yes, you could eat as much as you want, but you have goals at this moment, whatever those goals are, and it would be advantageous for us to stay aligned to those goals. And that means having one brownie or one cupcake or whatever it is. And it only will take you doing these things one time and seeing that you didn't die in order for you to feel safe making that choice, because you know what? You're going to feel so proud of yourself the moment that you choose to have one bowl of cereal, one ice cream, one brownie. And when I say one brownie, I don't mean like, you know, like a 10 by 10 brownie. You know what I mean? Because I know that I would do that like back then, right? Like, oh, one brownie? Okay, I'm just going to like cut this like giant brownie, which is probably like 6 brownies in one. You know, but, or like a Miss Fields cookie cake or something, if you told yourself one cookie. But really, you know, tolerating the discomfort of wanting more and knowing that you shouldn't have more, because it would take you away from how you want to feel every day in life. It's going to make you tired, sluggish, bloated, all of these things. It's going to make you gain weight when that makes you feel bad, because you feel good in your body at a certain weight. That is valid. That is okay. So again, this is telling yourself the truth in that moment, and it's going to be uncomfortable. But the moment that you see that you can tolerate that, you will gain so much pride that you'll want to do it every time. And you might have a moment of sliding back, of being like, okay, I did eat the 4 brownies. But then you have more data. Then you have more information of how that actually feels when you do that, and perhaps seeing like, oh, maybe this isn't that fun. Oh, this doesn't actually make me feel the way that I want it to. It didn't actually scratch the itch. It didn't actually do what I thought it was going to do. And if we do that, like, I think it's important to own it. So like, rarely, actually, I'll talk about that in a second when I talk about kind of how I organize this. But really having that honesty and exposing yourself to the things that you're scared of like having one slice of cake at your birthday party. Like, I remember when I was first giving up gluten. This was like, oh my gosh, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago, maybe like 12 years ago. And on my birthday, I went to eat with my parents. I think I was living in Miami at this time. I went to go eat with my parents to this French restaurant in South Miami. And I think it's called Cafe Bonjour. If you're in Miami, it's really good. At the restaurant, I had a full meal. And I had a dessert at the restaurant. And then I had bought Misha's cupcakes, which are mostly a gluten-y cupcake. I was really trying to be gluten-free here. But because even now, I could eat gluten if I wanted to, but I haven't eaten it in years, you know, since this time probably. Only because it's at peace for me, because it's on the table and because I can, because there's permission. And from there, I can actually make a choice. So I remember that night going home, having the mini cupcakes and probably having like 5 or 6 of the mini cupcakes after I had a full meal, because tomorrow I couldn't eat gluten anymore. Tomorrow the diet started. Tomorrow everything was going to go back to normal. And I remember waking up that day and like looking at my eyelids. And like from the moment, like I went in the bathroom, just woken up, and they were so swollen. They were like 1/2 inch thick or whatever it is. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing this? Like, this isn't fun. Now I'm bloated. I feel like shit. I'm not going to go work out. I'm tired. Like, why? And I had to do that many, many times. I remember another time that my sister made these like red velvet cake pops and I loved them. It was like boxed cake with boxed icing. You mix it and then you put them into a ball and you dip it into the, you know, chocolate wafers and you put them on a stick, and another gluten-y thing. And I remember I saw her making them and I was like, all right, that's what I'm doing today. I'm just eating the red velvet you know, the red velvet cake pops and it's going to be what it is. And feeling so shitty, like in the middle, this was like middle of the day. I was like, well, I already feel like shit, so might as well go take myself really to really feel like shit. And that's like, you know, throwing your phone on, like your phone falling on the ground and then you stepping on it a million times and then running it over with your car and just like really destroying it. And what I realized around these times was that like, it's not fun. It doesn't actually make me feel good. And it's not kind to treat your body in that way. And I just, again, have so much compassion for it because like, this was my life for most of the time, you know? So I think that the antidote to this and a skill, another skill that we can learn is really truly staying in your body and being mindful and being present. And being present as you eat. If you pay attention fully, I'm talking your full attention, get a napkin, get a plate, get a spoon, whatever it is. And when you eat, try to have that be the only thing that you're doing at that moment. And like, eat slowly. Be romantic with the bite. Like, truly squeeze all of the juice out of the enjoyment of this. It's only going to last for like, how long does eating last? I wish it would last hours. I used to have moments like that. It really only lasts, what, a couple minutes? And if we're not paying attention, we're going to miss the experience. Oftentimes when we eat, we have like a spoon in our mouth. And as we're about to put the spoon in, we're still thinking about the next bite, which means that we're not actually present. So something that we can do here is like really ground ourselves before we eat. Feel your hands, like open and close your hands, put your feet on the ground, wiggle your toes, breathe in and out, get yourself grounded and present, and treat the act of eating like it is sacred, like it is holy, like it is, I don't mean religious, but like it is sacred. Like, oh, this is the moment that it's happening. These quote unquote treats or whatever it is don't need to happen all the time. You know, they don't happen all the time. So it's important for us to, you know, really be able to be present and enjoy, because pleasure from food doesn't come from quantity. It comes from the quality of your attention. If you think back to all of the times that you were eating out of control or, you know, chaotically, I guarantee that you weren't paying attention as it was happening. And you weren't truly appreciating the food. A lot of people say, oh, but I love food so much. But when you love something, you respect it, you honor it, you are, you have reverence for it, right? And that is really true love, you know what I mean? So staying in your body as you eat, putting the focus back on you is what's going to be most important. And I think the next thing to think about is really being honest with yourself about how you feel as that's happening. You know, like there's a point in our bodies when we eat and in our brains, when we go from pleasure to neutrality to pain. Can we catch ourselves when we are in neutrality? Can we realize that the law of diminishing returns is a real thing and that the first bite is going to be the most delicious and every subsequent bite thereafter is not going to be as delicious? So therefore, can we be like so present for that first bite, because we're going to miss it if we don't pay attention? Staying in your body, putting the focus on you and how you want to feel means that you can be at peace in putting your fork down or your spoon, because then you'll actually realize that is me sacrificing the way that I feel for a couple more bites or for two brownies worth it? That's a question to sit with. Is it actually worth it for me to do that? For me, it's not, you know, because I'm so attached to my values and I'm so like aligned to them and it's so deep, my connection to them, you know? This also doesn't mean that like you're going to feel good 24/7, but the point is that your oscillations with your food are subtle. Like maybe you might overeat a little bit sometimes, maybe you undereat sometimes, like that's not me most of the time. I've never forgotten to eat. So like little oscillations of just normalcy, you're like, you're on vacation, you're on an anniversary dinner, you want to enjoy, versus these like huge giant swings, right? You're going to mess up a little bit, but every time you mess up, you have the evidence of how it feels when you do that. And then you can evaluate and tell yourself the hard truth. Maybe that wasn't worth it. Sometimes we need to gather enough evidence so we can finally make the shift that we need to really sit in that discomfort of being like, oh, I'm going to hold these two feelings of like wanting more and choosing not to. And that wave goes by. That wave eventually passes. And what you are left with is you and your strength. The last thing that I'm going to leave you with is a structure that I use with myself and my clients, because I know that even being like, oh my God, everything is allowed at all times might feel like, oh gosh, that's so scary. It's like a black hole. Something that I use is the daily, weekly, monthly, and rarely framework. You could also think as like always, sometimes, rarely, in terms of like, what are the foods that you eat every day that make you feel good? For me, these are things like proteins, fiber, fruits, veggies, rice, butter, toast, stuff like that. Weekly would be something like buttered popcorn, like ice cream from the store, a donut, or like if it gets like chillin' ice cream, which is like this nitrogen ice cream. It could be like a donut, a cupcake. Something that I do a little bit like monthly would be like, you know, a full dinner out that like has like, that I'm having like a drink and dessert and stuff like that. Like alcohol is in here too, right? We can do a whole other episode on alcohol eventually, but maybe monthly I'm doing something like that. Rarely would be something like Expo West, where like literally all day I'm like just eating crappy things, you know? And even sometimes like if I'm hungover, so rare, I might just eat crap all day and like, okay, I'm gonna have pizza and then this and that. And it is what it is. It happens so rarely that like, if you show up with consistency the rest of the time, the more consistent you are, the less dramatic the after effects of these things will be. But it involves practice and it involves your willingness. And again, the major takeaways are you being an adult and you being able to navigate this eventually. Again, if we need support for that, it is totally valid. It can seem so unfamiliar that we might need to like, you know, trudge through the waters a little bit with support. The next thing is identifying your values and how you want to feel, being honest with yourself about how foods make you feel, and staying connected to that and really knowing that this is something of kindness. I think sometimes we think like, oh, kindness is like letting myself do whatever I want, whenever I want. That doesn't actually feel good. And yesterday, a client of mine on our coaching call was saying that she had never eaten a bite of a cookie and decided that it wasn't worth it. She had never thrown away ice cream after her being done. Because you know that, and there's the topic of like waste here and things being, I truly believe that like if you buy something and you're done, it's a sunk cost. And if you choose to eat it, even if you're full, or you throw it away, it's still being wasted. It is not beneficial to your body at that point. So remember, even if we have unconditional permission to eat, it doesn't mean that we don't have discernment, honesty, structure, and boundaries around food. I also have boundaries around food. I am very, very mindful and very, very honest. And right at this point, it's very automatic. But I think that I have learned so many times. I can't even tell you how many times I have quote unquote messed up with food. Hundreds. I've gathered enough evidence to know that overeating and scarcity and all of these things, that, well, first, that scarcity drives overeating, but it's never the answer. It never gives me as much pleasure as I think it will. The true pleasure in life is feeling good in your body and feeling like you've got yourself and that you're in control. If you resonate with this and you haven't taken Intuitive Macros, come join Intuitive Macros if you want to be a part of this round. The waitlist gets $100 off. If you're not on the waitlist, just DM me and I will put you on the waitlist. Just say, hey, I want to be on the waitlist, so you can get that discount. This is truly what we do. And if you practice this, I know it can be hard, but if you practice and you are committed to the path, which anything can be happening in life, it's actually better if you have stuff going on, because then you can actually be honest with yourself and like navigate these things, which will make you made of steel and untouchable when it comes to your relationship with food eventually. Again, this is what we do in Intuitive Macros. I would love, love, love to have you in the course if this resonates. I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you so much for your patience. We'll be back soon with all of the episodes. Stay tuned. for all of the things that are coming. I'm sending you so, so much love, and I appreciate you more than you know. Thank you so much for listening to Wise. If you want to get in touch with me, or if you want to submit a question to be answered on this podcast, please send me a DM and follow me on Instagram at Ashley K. Pardo. I love hearing from you. My DMs are always open. And as always, if you enjoyed the show, please share it with somebody that you love and leave us a 5-star rating and review on